Welcome back to another episode of Sexy Marriage Radio alongside my wife, Pam.
Always good to be here.
Welcome to 2026 from us to the nation. New year, new possibilities, new focuses. That's kind of what we'll be talking about in the extended content with the three words. That's that's the way we start every year. And so even though we're almost a week into the year now since the way the calendar fell. The extended content, we'll walk through our three words. I encourage those of you that are in the academy to share yours on the platform if you haven't already. But then on the regular version, I just want to jump right into the idea to help frame where we're heading today. Because if you think of all the years of us doing this show, we've talked a whole lot about how do we own our own sexuality, our own desires, even in some instances, our own practices, because we've talked about masturbation, or we've taken an element where we've had conversations talking about porn, and we've tried to parse it out with the idea of a person's use of whatever they may do with their own sexuality is theirs, right? Like their body is theirs. What they choose to do with it is theirs. And so it's usually not caused by a partner. That's one of the frames we've kind of used of like, it doesn't have anything to do with you in the sense of what people may choose to do with their desires, their fantasy, or their mental life.
Okay.
But where we want to go today is your body is yours, but the impact is shared.
Yeah.
And
that's
so,
like, how big is your butt question?
That'll work way back in the archives.
Right. And that the impact is a huge butt here, right?
And yes. And so your fantasy life is never just yours. Mm-hmm. Your sex life in marriage is never just yours.
Is this the kind of thing that gets, you refer a lot to gridlock, the word gridlock in this. Dives couples into that because one wants something the other doesn't, and the impact on the other is sometimes feels insurmountable.
It does. It's the mechanism of what helps create and lock in the gridlock. And what's interesting is this is a recent post on the platform, which is nation.smr.fm, if you guys aren't already a part of it. Is somebody made a comment, I don't know if this was in the academy off the top of my head or in the general platform area, where when you look at marriage, kind of what comes part and parcel with the idea is you're saying I do to a sexual relationship. Mm-hmm. And so as this marriage unfolds, sometimes, many times it can even seem, the sex life will wane or could altogether disappear because one partner is just done having sex. And so sometimes the stance that's taken, and this is what the post was, something along the lines of, you signed up for a bowling league and you didn't expect to go bowling. And it's kind of the same concept where we can use that stance that we're talking about today as a, how could you? But we need to look at it the other side of that coin too of, yeah, I have all these wants and desires and fantasies of things I may want or have thought of in my life. Some pertain to you, some don't, but they all impact you.
All of them do, yes.
And that's the way I want to look at this is desire and our selfhood always co-evolves inside a relationship, not outside it. Right. And so here's where this to kind of help set the stage. Late last year, we did a series of 7-day challenges that there'll be probably some more coming out in 2026. But it's just 7-day, once a day, there's moments you get a chance to kind of work through something. And on one of them was the sexual energy challenge. And an email came in because the wife was a little concerned because some of the emails I was sending out as promos of this was alluding to and talking about masturbation as a way to learn ourselves that there is such a thing in my belief of healthy masturbation. I really do believe that.
You can understand your own body.
And you can express and do some things for yourself if you want. And I think there can be healthy aspects of that. But where we're going to go today is talking about the impact of that still matters.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way I want to at least constantly frame it in the context of a relationship. Because what you choose to do or not to do is completely up to you. But you can't avoid impact because of your choices in a marriage.
Yeah, and you have to realize that there will be impact. I guess, what do you see most often? People, a spouse sees the impact on their spouse and they get mad because, well, I'm allowed to have my point of view. Mm-hmm. And the other spouse, well, I'm allowed to have my point
exactly.
of view too.
It's like we think we have high ground with whatever our particular bent, desire, lack of desire, uninterest in, whichever way we want to go. And a lot of times the people that have the stance that's more in the lines of, well, this is what marriage is, think they have high ground with it. And now we can start weaponizing it. It's like, well, you signed up to go bowling. So how dare you not want to bowl? When in reality, yeah, they did.
They brought a bowling ball.
They maybe even have the shoes.
They're on lane 10 and you're on lane 8, or you're just in different lanes.
Maybe, or they're still just sitting in that little bullpen area that's watching the bowling that goes on and you're not actually going to bowl. But
well, there's that.
But it's the context of most of the time, I think us, that we get in, like, I feel like I'm getting a raw deal because my spouse isn't on board with me on what I thought we agreed on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have high ground with that, though.
I think your key there is what I thought we agreed on.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the likelihood is you did at the beginning. You both came into this realizing and knowing kind of what was expected. I mean, I've not met a couple yet that has not... I've met some that have not that have had a long time path or long time of time passed from the time they got married to when they consummated the marriage, like when they actually had sex.
Okay.
I mean, some have gone a couple of years, and it's because of anxiety, it's fear, uncertainty, pain, whatever it might be.
Really?
And they, but all of them still wanted and understood this as part of the relationship.
Okay.
So like no one is going in shocked. Wait, now I got to start having sex. I mean, I've yet to meet anybody that's been in that camp. Right. Well, but I didn't know. And like, no, we know. Right. So I want to take it out of the equation of it's not a shock to people that they know this is what comes with marriage. And most couples that I've ever worked with understand that. And even to parts of them really do want that. But they're not sure how to overcome the things that get in the way of realizing that. And it just, this is a conversation to just help understand neither of us have a high ground with the way I'm coming about it because it's always in context of relationship. Hmm. I really wish that you would see it my way, but because you don't doesn't mean I'm somehow more righteous or more holy or more right or more solid in my stance. The likelihood is we're both about the same.
And I guess what I'm curious what you usually see is typically just couples not in line on just how it's done. Is it more about here's positions, tactics, things that I don't want to participate in? Or is it more typically about, well, it just didn't happen enough?
It's the whole range, actually. There's going to be some that would be in the camp of it's just not enough.
Mm-hmm.
Which then the other person would say, it's just not enough, right? They see it too.
Mm-hmm.
Because in that situation, it is this element of enoughness. Could you ever find, quote unquote, enough of anything?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
In our life.
Yeah.
Because it's the law of diminishing returns, and it's the law of insatiability, and it's the law of some of these things that we do in life. They're not designed to be enough. God is the only thing that is enough. Personal opinion. Personal values we have here at SMI.
Agreed. Agreed. Right? But someone, if I get $1 million, I'm going to be enough. Happy.
And then you talk to somebody that's got $1 million and they're like, no, $10 million.
Oh, even the same person.
And
then once they hit $1 million.
They get $10 million and it's like, that's not enough. I mean, what is it? One of the Hunt brothers, the oil tycoon people that are still around, that they made. Is it true that you make $1 million a day? And one of them immediately replied, I would starve on $1 million a day.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, how that does not compute. And so this is where most of the time what we think of is we only look at it through our own lens, and we don't realize our lens's impact matters. That's where I want to at least kind of have the conversation to at least plant that lens with people as we start a new year, to realize that this is about self-development, and the context in which that happens is in the impacts I have in my marriage, regardless of the stance I'm on. Whichever side of the equation I'm on in this dilemma, there's still impact. What I want, even if it's like, but it's just exploratory, it's fun, it'll be erotic, it'll be all these things that are quote unquote good, there's still impact in that. Because a lot of times, back to your question you asked earlier, most of what I see is one person is not freely participating, freely choosing sex and their experiences because of pain, trauma, shame, history, something. And what's being revealed in this is their unwillingness to actually confront themselves about that. It's easier to take the stance of, well, because you did XYZ, I'm not going to XYZ. And I'm like, okay, then it just becomes avoidance. It's not self-development. And it holds the relationship hostage, but it also holds themselves hostage.
Yeah, they got to ask themselves the hard questions.
Because we can take the stance of, well, because you fooled around with countless people, or because you were using porn for years without me knowing, or because you were, it's all of a sudden now I think I have high ground to not have to do something in my marriage. Okay, you can take that stance, but you don't have high ground. Mm-hmm. You're weaponizing it just as much as you're claiming they did.
Yeah. I mean, there could be a part of their stance that's still valid.
The impact of it is still valid. The importance of what happened and how it does land on you is completely valid. But then turning that against them is playing the same way.
Yeah, you're playing the same way as the other spouse who's turning what they want
against
you.
And so this has to be framed in this idea of what are my needs versus our system. Because we talk about in every relationship, there's a higher desire and there's a lower desire. And each of those have a role they play. The lower desire inevitably is the one that controls the frequency, the timing. They're the de facto gatekeeper of sex, whether they like it or not. Now, for the 32 years of our marriage, most of the time, you have been the gatekeeper of our sex life, whether you've liked that or not.
That would be true.
Okay. So it's dealing with the reality of that pressure and dynamic on both of us, because there's impact of that. That's the mechanism of you having to, and I having to, really confront and develop, how do I be better on the role I play in this dynamic? How do I be better realizing the choices I make with my desires, with my fantasy life, with my thought life, with my practices, solo or together? How do I be better realizing everything I do will impact you? Everything you do or think or believe will impact me.
Yeah, I'm wondering, is the biggest issue someone who just doesn't care about the impact on their spouse?
Or doesn't realize the impact on their spouse?
I guess you're just being true to yourself. You're just being real, and you can go to the next step if you are someone who realizes, I just don't care.
Yeah.
If I don't realize it, what do I do? If I just don't care, well, there's a whole nother thing.
Well, absolutely. If you don't, ignorance is a okay or understandable stance until you see it differently. And then what you do with it once you see it determines the degree of what it is you're doing now.
Yeah, and the trajectory of the marriage.
Yes.
Well,
because if I know that the stance I'm taking on you with the way I might push to want to do something or experience something or invite something into our sex life with us, when I realize the impact it has on you and I keep pushing that, that's a different kind of meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than I've never even thought of the fact that that would have that kind of an impact. Oh, because prior to that, it was just, I was just locked in on what it meant to me,
mm-hmm.
not what it meant to you,
mm-hmm.
not what it meant to us. And I think a lot of times we don't take the courageous step back to actually examine what is it that I'm really pining for in my marriage and in my sex life specifically, that I'm actually culpable for causing impact that's not helpful. I'm actually getting in my own way with things,
mm-hmm.
because it doesn't align actually with what we've said we want to do. Because this is where there's kind of this triad of integrity to look at. If we kind of frame it as a practical way, I think, to frame this,
yeah.
it's integrity with myself. And I think that's important, of how am I in line with my character, which also comes, I couple that kind of concept with a part that's the same concentric, same circles that overlap a lot, which is also integrity with my faith,
mm-hmm.
and my values and my belief and walk with God.
Mm-hmm.
Those are not completely one and the same, but man, they overlap a lot. And then there's integrity with my spouse and my relationship with them. So we kind of have this triad going on, that when I can look at it as, yeah, I'm entitled to whatever I want as it pertains to me, but it always exists in the context of a relationship. So how am I willing to confront the impact of whatever it is I want with me and realizing it will impact?
I hate that word, entitled.
Well, it's fair.
I cannot stand that word.
Okay. I am free to pursue whatever it is I want in my life, but yeah, it will have impact.
It's going to have impact, and realize that. And yeah, you got to be willing. What is it that you want in your relationship? How do you want to be known? What legacy do you want to leave?
Well,
there's all these things that you think about,
mm-hmm.
and when you're really trying to pursue being the best person, the best Christian, the best spouse you can be,
right.
all these things that impact it.
Right. And this is where the whole point I want to get to with this is just realizing that I'm free to seek and be who I think I want to be. That's a part of self-development. But that does not excuse me from the fact that everything I do is in the context of a relationship too. It's real mm-hmm. easy to take the stance, and it's even sometimes even more understandable to see the stance of, yeah, if all of a sudden now a spouse chooses to take a job that has them traveling 50 weeks a year, because their dream is to be this person that's on the road and making all kinds of money, and this is the sales job or the tech job or whatever it is that's perfectly designed for them. Okay, I'll completely agree with that. But it also is going to impact your marriage.
Yeah, so what are you going to do about right. that?
And so
yeah.
it's easy to, when all of a sudden a spouse takes a stance in this scenario of, yeah, I'm just really concerned about all the travel. And then that can be warranted because maybe there was some shenanigans and stupidity that has happened earlier in life or earlier in the marriage or earlier in the dating, or they've heard stories about other people and all this stuff, you know.
Thus the trauma.
All of these fears that are real. Yeah. And now all of a sudden he, in this scenario, I'm just going to make it the guy that wants to take this job just for sake, but I know of wives that have done this as well.
Mm-hmm.
He can take the stance of, you're not even supporting my dream. I've worked hard for this. And she's like, I'm the bad guy here. Well, I want to at least propose the lens adjustment of, so is he. Because just because he's seeking this great opportunity, which he is free to seek, he has to realize it will have impact. He does not have high ground because it's in line with who he's always wanted to be more than a typical stay in the nearby your home job.
Yeah.
And so we can often blame our spouses for my plight in life and think they are the ones holding me down rather than realizing I have cement boots on too of my own choosing.
Yeah. 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 Scenario like that. Well, you made a commitment to be in a relationship. And if you're gone all the time, you're not really.
And so the crucible,
not what you expected.
The crucible of this is a willingness to grow and develop, not compromise my way through it. Right? Not just give in because it's the path of least resistance. Well, I just won't because you don't want me to. I just won't. Which now, what do you think is harboring in his mind?
Oh, it's all her
scenario.
Fault.
Right?
There's a blame
and now
game.
She's even of the whole, I'm getting in the way of what I know he really wants to do. Because if she's paid attention and has a somewhat accurate map with if they've been married for a while, she does. She knows it, right? And it's like, I'm kind of trapped too because of this opportunity. And now all of a sudden it's his fault rather than, no, hold on. This is an opportunity for the system to really align better within the context of this gridlock. And you change your relationship to the gridlock, not the gridlock itself. You start looking at what is my culpability and co-creation of this so that I'm better at, you know what? I understand completely this is a goal that you've got. It just really causes some fears. And I want to make sure I'm upfront about these and we come up with a way to coordinate to see if this can't happen. I'll handle me and I'll trust you'll handle you. And this is easy in theory. Incredibly difficult to actually do because gridlock growth is self-development boot camp.
Oh, and all the things that come along with the scenario that you're proposing here.
Yes.
You know, do you have kids and all the things?
Tons.
And dealing with that and dealing with the house.
Tons.
And
we don't think of this in the context too often of my sexual desires, my sexual longings, my sexual fantasies. Yeah, they're mine. But if I actually want to start sharing those or take my marriage to a deeper level, it's going to have impact. And I can blame my spouse because, well, they didn't handle it well. They dismissed it. They laughed at me when I brought that up. You got scared by it and you ran out and now all of a sudden you're changing with the door closed and I can't even see you naked anymore. All of these reactions we have. Okay, I'm culpable for that dynamic. Even though I thought I was just taking the stance of I'm trying to take us to a deeper level. Well, maybe my intent is that, but it's going to have impact. And so you have to realize that's the way all of this unfolds.
Yeah. So how do we start getting skills to cope with the impact, to deal with that, to be better together through it and come up with those?
Yeah. And that's
solutions,
that's
right?
An individual thing playing out relationally, which means I'm able to handle how it may go because I also know I need to deal with me in this too. Not just blame you.
Well, I got to deal with me first.
Yeah.
Yeah. More than anything that we have to figure out how to, because if we can't figure out how to deal with ourselves first, how are we going to make a relationship work?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's understanding and dealing with a way I just want to end the conversation for today. And we can pick this up more because maybe the nation will kind of give us some, hold on, frame it this way. Feedback at sexymarriageradio.com.
Or here's my scenario. How does it play out?
Right.
How do I look at it?
Let's explore it because it's understanding that at face value as we enter into a new year, just coming to the realization of all of my choices are mine, but they also do have consequences and impact. How do I at least factor that in and that realization in a little bit more? So that way what happens between us is at least cleaner and then we know what we're really fighting about. We know what the real tension is rather than I feel like you don't even acknowledge me. You don't even know what it's like. You don't even blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, no, get underneath that. Look underneath all of that and realize yeah, I'm part of the problem with this thing. So how do I, because I'm not saying stop wanting what you want. I'm just saying use that in development processes to refine and be cleaner with how you go about that. Because then it can be a much more compassionate growth opportunity rather than a tyranny of the lowest common denominator that so often turns into.
Yeah.
Because that's when you show up to the bowling alley, to use the analogy, and one of you is all excited and the other's not getting out of the car. Well, that's marriage has seasons of that.
Yeah.
But realize both people have created that, not just the person that gets blamed because they won't get out of the car.
Yeah.
As we segue into the extended content, since this is the first of the new year, one of the things we are regularly doing for the past, many years, I'd have to go back and look at the episodes to know, but this is a practice I've been doing since 2015, actually, and now is a regular occurrence in our home and between you and I. And this is the three words that help kind of frame what are the focuses for the coming year. And so this is different than the New Year's resolutions. If you're not familiar with this concept, this is more kind of like lighthouses that help guide and guard a path.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean those intentionally. It'll help guide where we're trying to go, and it also helps guard us from all the other things that are come after us as good opportunities during a year that maybe aren't things that I really want to be focusing on this year. And so by having three, it gives you a pretty good range of things you can go do and focus on and really do help guide what I want to do and who I want to be in the coming year. And so a couple of key points on it, if you want to jump in and you haven't done this before, is don't make it a phrase. Make them three actionable words. You know, in for example, expand is better than bigger. Because there's just more useful and practical language you can use. So kind of give it a little bit of time to look through on what are your words that you choose. Don't look for pithy, sexy kind of words, even though sexy is a great word. But use these words that will be your compass. And then stick to three at the most words.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to do three. I heard as we were getting ready to record this, you've got two.
I've got two.
I have three. When I started this in 2015, I had one word, and that was present.
Mm-hmm.
And then make them so where there's personal meanings, that they don't have to mean anything to anyone but you.
Yeah.
They don't have to be something that, they don't get it. Well, they don't have to. If you're explaining this to somebody, this is what means to you. Okay. Mm. And then a key practice about this is share the words with some people that you live life with, you walk alongside, because that helps. My mastermind groups, many of them throughout the year will refer to their words when we meet, just as a reminder to help keep them on path and keep them on focus of what they're trying to be about. And then the last thing is put these words places you'll see them. Post-it note on a fridge, on a bathroom mirror. I make a wallpaper on my screens, my computer, because I'm on it every day, up and on all day. And so I do a picture from something we did the year prior, and I write the three words in the bottom corner. And so anytime I open my computer, I see them, as well as something that was fun we did that year prior. But it's just a way to help keep the compass at the forefront of your mind. And so fire away, babe. You can start us off.
Okay. So I did just have two. Mine, the first one is connect. That's for me to, one, connect with God and learn about God. I want to stay connected with, my family, you and the kids and those loved ones that are close to us. But I also realize that I'm, even within work and the people that I'm around each day, I want to make sure I'm connecting with them. I think there's a good example to be had,
That's good.
A camaraderie there, and I don't want to take that for granted. And on top of that, my friends at church.
Yeah.
That I realize that we've been there a long time and it's really easy to just kind of come and go and see people on Sunday. And I want to make sure that I'm connecting and having those relationships. So to me, this is intentional. I don't want to spread a net so wide that I just can't connect with anybody because it's so broad. But I think that focusing on making sure that when I'm there, I'm there and I'm connecting with the people I'm with and going out. We're in a new season now. The kids are gone. We don't have the kids' activities and all the band and all those things. And it's been really fun the last few months that we've just kind of, I feel like we've more gotten back into our own and started getting those connections
cultivating
again.
Cultivating our circles and world.
Yeah, cultivating would be a really good word to use within this too. That's kind
of... Connect works really well. I like it.
I feel like it's kind of harvesting a lot of seeds that have been planted.
Yeah. Perfect.
Anyway, so connect is my first word. My second word is gratitude. I tend to worry. And we were talking about over the holidays, it's really hard to worry when you're focused on gratitude and being thankful for things.
Right.
It's funny, Jessica on my birthday posted something on the Academy and he brought up the, you know, talking about don't borrow trouble. That's a phrase my mom gave me and is a really good phrase, but gratitude comes in and just wipes out any of that worry. And it always feels better on the days where you're just focused on gratitude. So that's where I want to spend a lot of time.
Yeah.
And just look in at all the good things.
Yeah.
Because, man, I like being around those people that are looking at the good things.
They are life-giving, aren't they?
It's a good thing. I want to be one of those people.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm striving for.
That's good. I like them. All right.
Yeah.
So I've got the three again. My first word is endure. And I mean this in the context of not just grin and bear it, but meaningfully endure something. There's two main focuses I've got with this is this is seeing everything through that I commit to. Projects, goals, dreams, family, kids, marriage. These are commitments I've made. I had a tangible moment at the end of last year. Of seeing this through, of being there and in enduring in very, very good ways with mom.
Yeah.
And her passing. So, and now it shifts. I've noticed a different spirit I've got also with my dad and my sister because I think of this word of making it meaningful, making the endurance that I have with them meaningful and impactful. So, and then there's also the second aspect of this to focus on is the new joy I've got running and exercising. And my plan is to log many, many, many miles in 2026 of running.
Endurance and is so, a good one for that.
Learning endurance and building endurance. So that's one. The other one, I think this one will be the rougher one for me. Typically one of my words every year kicks my butt more than the others.
Okay.
And I think this one is going to be it, and it's kind of sad to say it, but linger. Because I don't want to rush past experiences, and I often, looking back at myself and being honest, rush past experiences. And so I want to learn to enjoy both the pleasurable things and the uncomfortable things better, to just like experience them better, learn from them. I want to linger with feelings and experiences to learn from it. And I also want to linger more with God. This word comes from the Pause app. John Eldridge uses this word a bunch throughout some of the different guided pauses he has on that app. but I want to be able to linger with God for sure every morning. I've been very intentional thus far of how am I just lingering and enjoying the time.
Yeah.
And then also linger with friends, with you, with our kids when we get the opportunities, with families, you know, and I'm real excited about this word and also a little scared of what's it going to push me towards. And then the last one is grounded. And this is the idea of like directed steadiness. I just want to be grounded. So I don't think of this as just passive.
Directed steadiness.
Right. Where I actually, so there's a couple different things where this materialized. It really kind of took shape from Brené Brown's new book that I just started listening to at the end of last year called Strong Ground. Mm-hmm. And she talks about when you're going to take on things in life, you really need to be grounded. Right. And she uses the example of like, if you've done any kind of sports, what comes to my mind is when I would play defense in basketball, that if you're really going to try to lock somebody down, you got to have your feet under you because they could push past you or they could go around you. And if you're not steady enough to be able to adjust to whatever may happen, you'll get beat. Mm-hmm. Well, life is that way. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I don't actually feel the ground. And so I want to stay grounded. And that also pertains to, I want to be grounded in my beliefs and in my values, in my spirit life, in my walk, in my relationship with you and relationship with people. I want to have a groundedness to it that's also coupled with a willingness to question and doubt and refine my beliefs to become even more grounded.
Oh, there you go.
Right. And so I think that's why I don't see this as a passive thing. I see this as a drive towards solidifying who I am and what I really believe and making those beliefs mine rather than, well, I got this word from Brené Brown and I really do like it. That's kind of how it started.
Yeah.
But now I want to make it mine.
Okay.
And the same thing with my spirit life. I've got a lot of stuff from my father, from my mother, from you, from your father, from experiences of growing, your mother, you know, all these different things that are just different little beliefs. Well, I want to make them mine.
Yeah.
And actually encompass them in my life. And so that's mine. So endure, linger, and grounded. And I'm kind of excited about these three. These are, what's interesting to me, Pam, is that two of them, endure and linger, actually came to the forefront because I keep a notebook or a note tab in my phone where I have all the words of every year. And then at the bottom, I put words that have just kind of, ooh, that's a really good word. I just kind of keep this running list of potentials.
Okay.
And then I see what might materialize and see as the year goes on, because usually typically November, December, it's kind of like, well, three words, you know, coming to an end. What are the new ones? And these two, endure and linger, they came roaring to me this past summer. It was like, there's two words right there off the bat. I think those are definite hits. What's the third? You know, and it kind of, I had like five or six different interchange. I think it's going to be that. No, it's not that one. So it's just kind of fun to see how this has evolved differently for me this year. Cause usually it all comes at the end. And this time was like, these two have just been waiting.
Yeah. That's good.
So here's what we want from the nation and the academy is if you haven't shared some of what yours are, if you want to join us in this practice, please do put them on the platform. We'd love to hear and be alongside your journey as well, because this is a tremendous practice. It's been beneficial. And one of the things I love is while our daughter's been home for Christmas break, she even brought it up before the end of the year.
What are your words?
What are you guys' words? Because It's struck a chord that she's even aware and follows along too. Our son
She does it too.
Our son has at times, but he's not as overt as our daughter on a lot of things by bringing things up, but he still is paying attention. And so it's kind of become a family thing, and we hope it's a blessing to you as well. So let us know, because we want to cheer along and champion alongside you as much as we can in this journey in the year coming up. It's fun to think that how new years are new beginnings in some ways. And then there's also an opportunity with a new year for just refining of things. So it doesn't have to be like we're wiping the slate completely clean and starting something new. Instead, it's like, how do I have a subtle shift with something? Because there's almost like a freshness that comes.
Yeah.
With the turning of a whole new calendar.
Yeah. 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 And hopefully we just get better each year.
Absolutely.
And that's the refining, right?
That's the hope with Sexy Marriage Radio and those in the nation is we hope that 2026 is one that brings tremendous blessing. Mm. And then I hope for tremendous depth and impact in your marriage, mm-hmm. that it's felt and you experience some things together that you hadn't yet. And just realizing kind of the theme that we've had today of the show is there's impact. And sometimes that impact is really, really good too.
Yeah.
And so this has been Sexy Marriage Radio. If we left something undone, please let us know. 214-702-9565 or feedback at sexymarriageradio.com. So however you took a little bit of time to spend with us at the start of this new year, thanks. And we'll see you next time.